Thanks so much for joining us for the Church by the Glades podcast today. If you'd like more information about our church, including directions and service times, visit cbglades.com. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
What's up, Church by the Glades? How you guys doing today? It's great to see all of you. Man, you look good this morning. Look at your neighbor and say, you look good. Just tell them. Be honest with them. Now look to your other neighbor, the second choice, and be like, you look all right. You look all right. You're here. Glad you made it to church on Sunday morning. It's great to see all of you guys today. I want to say a huge thank you to Pastor David and Lisa for letting me be here today. My name is Nolan, and just to give you a little bit of a backstory into who I am, I used to be one of the student pastors here at CBG. Yeah. And about 6 months ago, my wife, Abby, and I, we really just felt God leading us into a new season of life, into a new chapter. And so we left San Antonio, or we left sunny South Florida with our baby son, Kingston, and moved to San Antonio, Texas to plant a new church called Motion Church. And so we are in San Antonio, Texas. And, you know, in the past 6 months that we've been gone, man, we've just seen God do some really cool stuff. I tell you what, whenever you step out in faith, man, God provides and God does amazing things. And so we've seen God just be really, really faithful. And right now we are meeting weekly with our launch team, trying to grow the launch team, getting ready to launch. We are having interest parties, trying to cast the net out wide to get as many people to join the church as possible. And we're looking to launch sometime in early 2019. So I ask you this, if you think about us, if my little blonde head pops in your head at some point in time, just be like, just say a prayer for us. Pray that God would give us favor. Pray that God would open doors. Pray that God would give us the keys to the city of San Antonio. Because I truly believe this. I believe that God wants to do something significant in San Antonio, Texas, through Motion Church. But I say all of that to say this. In the time since we've left, your church, Church by the Glades, has been such an incredible support to us. From calls from Pastor David, Pastor Raul, texts from staff, hey, how can we pray for you? What can we do for you? How can we resource you? What can we do to help? And can I tell you something today? That is very rare. Like, that typically doesn't happen when you leave a church, so that's so special. But even like taking it a step further, you guys as a church have continued to support us financially. So you've supported us as a family financially. You guys as a church has supported our church financially. And I just think it's so important for you to understand and to know that you attend a church that does not operate with like a closed fist mentality, where it's all about what we're doing and nobody else matters and it's just us four and no more. No, that is not Church by the Glades at all. Instead, what CBG does, they take your faithful tithes, your faithful offerings, your greatest gift offering, and they make a difference and they steward it well. And so know today that when you give, you are not only making a difference here in South Florida, but now you're making a difference in San Antonio, Texas, and truly all around the world. So give yourselves a hand for all that you do. So when I say it truly is an honor to be back at what I say is the greatest church in America, it really, really is. And my wife told me, she's like, you do realize that once we start our church officially, you can't say that anymore because our people are going to hate you. So I get that, but it's good to be back. So we're 2 weeks away from, less than 2 weeks away from Christmas. Can you believe that? It's crazy. Does anybody in the room have your Christmas shopping completely finished? You're done. Yeah, the rest of us hate you. The rest of us will be at Sawgrass Mills Mall later on today fighting the crowds. Christmas is almost here, and here at our Sawgrass campus, we're in full-blown Christmas mode and across all of our campuses. In fact, can we welcome our campuses today? Let's give it up for our Sample Road campus. We love you guys. Let's give it up for our downtown Fort Lauderdale campus. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We've got our campus in Palm Beach County, our Lake Worth campus. What's up, everybody? We've got our two incredible campuses at Dade CI and Homestead CI. We love you, men. Love you, ladies. Hope you have a very, very merry Christmas. And friends, I'm not sure if you've heard this, like, this buzz that's going around South Florida right now. It's about this tiny little thing that's happening at Church by the Glades, starting actually this Wednesday at our Sawgrass campus. It's this tiny little thing called Christmas du Soleil. Are you guys excited about that? I wish I could be here for it. I know it's going to be so good. The It's gonna be freaking amazing. Christmas always is at Church by the Glades. So you've got to do yourself a favor and be here for the services. Don't miss out. Don't let yourself miss out. But take it a step further and invite as many people as you possibly can to experience Christmas du Soleil. It's gonna be so good. So on the way out today, stop by the back, grab some invite cards, tell your neighbors, tell your friends, tell everybody. It's gonna be so good. And here's the thing. You might have invited somebody like a month ago when we first handed the invite cards out. They forgot, okay? I'm just gonna let you know, they forgot. Christmas season is busy. Circle back around, remind them, hey, I have this event at my church, Christmas du Soleil. Creativity is gonna be amazing. You gotta be there. Circle back around, have them join us. But I'm ready for Christmas. For me, like, Christmas, of all of the holidays of the year, is by far my favorite. I love the other ones, but Christmas is my favorite because I just love all of the different aspects of it. I love the decorations. I love the Christmas trees. I love Christmas lights. I love Christmas music. I love Christmas movies. And I've said this before, I love Christmas movies except for Hallmark Christmas movies, right? I don't like them because in 2 hours of life, not everything always goes perfect, right? You don't always find your man and get the loving kiss. It's just not reality. And so I just want to set some ground rules when it comes to the men in the room in Hallmark Christmas movies. So you can watch those movies if you're with your wife, your girlfriend, or your mom. But don't watch a Hallmark Christmas movie by yourself if you're a dude. That's just weird. You just don't let yourself go there. So I love all like the cultural Christmas things, but I love what Christmas represents. You know, God becoming man. The Savior entering into the world, light entering into a dark place. For me, I was born in a Christian home, and when I was a kid, my grandfather was a pastor. And so every Christmas, all of our cousins, aunts, uncles, we'd all go to my grandparents' house, and we'd all kind of get together. And just before we'd open up the presents, my grandfather would sit all of the cousins down, and we'd all sit on the floor. He'd sit in his chair, and he'd read from the Bible the story of Jesus' birth. Now, looking back as an adult, that's a really sweet time because my grandfather is no longer with us. But as a kid, having to listen to the story of Jesus' birth right before you open presents, I'm like, Grandpa, I don't care about Jesus right now. Like, did I get the Super Nintendo? Because Super Nintendo was dope back then, right? But I remember hearing the story, and in my mind as a kid, I remember, you know, hearing about the wise men and the shepherd and the star and the angels and thinking of it as like some problem-free, cute little cuddly story where everything went great. Like in my mind, if you've ever seen Talladega Nights, like I picture like little 8-pound, 6-ounce baby Jesus in his golden fleece diapers. That's what I picture. It's smooth. It was problem-free. There was no problems at all. But in fact, when I read the narrative of Jesus' birth in his early years, it wasn't problem-free. In fact, starting before Jesus was even born, there were a lot of potential problems and situations that stood before Jesus and his destiny if he allowed them to. I mean, sure, when you read the Old Testament, there are tons of prophecies, tons of promises of what God was going to use Jesus to do in this world, of how he would redeem the sins of humanity, of how he would rescue us from our sins, of how he would be the hope of the world. That was all true, but there were still some obstacles that stood before Jesus that if he wanted to, if he chose to allow them to, I believe could have kept him back from all that God had for him. And friends, today, I believe the same thing goes for each and every one of us in this room. Because God has something special. God has an incredible destiny for each and every one of you. You might have walked in the back of these doors today thinking to yourself, man, I don't have much of a future. I'm stuck in this situation. That is not true. If you're in this room, like, check your pulse. You got a pulse? That means you have purpose. You were created on purpose, with purpose, and for a purpose. And when I read the Bible, like, the plans that I have for my life, like I plan my life, but I have plans, and they're good plans because I love myself, right? We all love ourselves. We don't plan bad things for ourselves. But the Bible says that God's plans for your life are greater than you could ever ask, imagine, or think. There's so much potential that God has for you. And though that is true, which it 100% is, just like with Jesus, there are some things that if we're not careful, we can allow them to derail us from our destiny. There are some poisons, if you will, that if we're not careful, we'll drink from That'll keep us back from all of the good things that God really does have for our life. This morning, I want to talk to you about promise poisons. About promise poisons, and I would ask you today, what poisons are you allowing yourself to drink from that are keeping you back from God's very best? What are you drinking from in life that's keeping you back from God's very best? You know, when I look at Jesus' early life and his infant years, one of the things that I think could have held Jesus back if he wanted it to is the fact that Jesus had some family factors. Like when you read the story of Jesus' birth, he had some family issues. His family was actually really jacked up. Like, you might be like, Nola, my family's jacked up. Jesus' family was jacked up too. Like, have you ever seen the TV show Maury Povich? It's on in the afternoons. It's kind of scandalous, right? It's the paternity test show. So I picture, like, if Maury Povich's show had been around back in the first century, Joseph and Mary would have been on the show. Like, Maury would have been in his, like, little chair, kind of leaning forward with the envelope, the results of the paternity test. Joseph and Mary are over here, like, waiting, and Joseph's like, I know I'm about the daddy of this baby, right? And he's over there. Maury has the results. He opens it. He reads it. Then he points to Joseph, and he's like, Joseph, you are not the father, right? And Joseph's like, I told you, girl. I told you I'm not the daddy. Jesus' family situation was surrounded by scandal. They were ensnared with embarrassment. Like, they truly were the talk of the town. Jesus had family factors. If you have your Bibles with you, check out what Matthew chapter 1 verse 18 says. If you don't, we'll throw it on the screens. But read the highlighted part with me. It says, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. Get ready to read. But before keyword there, the marriage took place while she was still a virgin. Another key word there. And I thought about highlighting that, but I was like, that's kind of weird for the whole crowd to repeat virgin after me in church. So I didn't. So key word also, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 19 says, Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. If you read the story in the book of Luke, it says that after Mary was the truth of who Jesus was going to be was revealed, she was impregnated by the Holy Spirit, and then she left out of town to spend about 3 or 4 months with her cousin Elizabeth. So essentially, Mary's gone for the first trimester of her pregnancy. So imagine you're Joseph, right? Your fiance's been gone for about 3 or 4 months, and you're excited to see her. She comes into town. She walks up to you. You give her a hug, and you feel something like press on your stomach a little bit. You're like, "What? What is that? Like, hold up. Is that a food baby? Like, have you been eating a lot while you've been gone, or is that a baby? Because Joseph's thinking, like, "Listen, girl. Like, we haven't Netflixed, and we definitely haven't chilled yet. So I don't know what's happening. But all I'm saying is that's not my baby. What's going on? All of these emotions are going through Joseph's head, and it said that he was a good man, so he wanted to break the engagement quietly. He was ready to call it quits. Jesus' family was going to be destroyed. Matthew chapter 1 verse 20 says, as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So I'll read that, and that's good. Like, Mary and Joseph are now on the same page. They know what's up, it's good. But my thought is, what about everybody else? Like, the Bible said that a few of their family members knew the truth of what was going on, but what about everybody else? They had to have been talking, they had to have been thinking, well, what's up with this? Like, ladies, can you imagine back when you were like 14 or 15 years old? That's how old Mary was. Imagine going up to your mom or your dad or your cousins, your friends, and saying, hey, guys, I got something to tell you. I'm pregnant. But don't worry. I didn't do anything. God got me pregnant. Like, imagine that. I try and picture my sister doing that to my mom. My mom would have been like, you're a liar. Get out of my house. Trying to lie to me. Like, there had to have been a stigma surrounding their family. Mary had to have felt it. Joseph had to have felt it. Even Jesus had to have felt it and had to have experienced it. Like in little Hebrew school, when Jesus was a kid, the kids are joking around, kind of messing with everybody. The one kid would say, hey, Jesus, you know Joseph ain't your real dad, right? And it could have been very easy for Jesus to say, I thought I was supposed to be this, but maybe I'm not. Maybe the promises that God has for my life really aren't true. And I think at some point or another, there have been many people in this room that have had that thought cross your mind. Because I have some family issues, because my family's dysfunctional, maybe God's plans for my life really aren't going to be that great because my family situation is messed up. You might be sitting there thinking, you know what, Nolan, I never knew my mom. I never knew my dad. Mom was an alcoholic. Dad was a drug addict. Dad left. I don't know how to be a good father or a good mother. I never saw that example for me. I don't know how to have a healthy marriage. My parents got divorced. It was messy. It was bitter. I don't know how to raise my kids in a godly home. I just got saved this past couple years. I never saw that exampled out. And what we can very easily do is begin to drink from the cup and say, because I have some family factors, maybe I can't accomplish all of the things that God has for my life. But can I tell you something today? It doesn't matter what your family situation looked like. All that matters is who your Heavenly Father is. It doesn't matter what your family situation looked like. All that matters is who your Heavenly Father is. It doesn't matter what your dad said to you or what your mom did to you or what they think about you. All that matters is if you've accepted Jesus as the leader of your life, you've been adopted into the greatest family in the history of mankind. And you have a Father, God, who loves you so much, He'll do anything for you, and He has your back. And hear me today. By no means am I trying to minimize the pain that you've experienced and what you've gone through. I'm in no way trying to minimize that at all. But when the thought pops into your head, I can't, I'm not enough, I'm less than, remember, yes, you can. You're not enough. You are more than enough. You are more than an overcomer. God has your back and you're a part of His family. Don't let that lie slip into your head. What's another poison I think Jesus could have chosen to drink from if He wanted to? I think it's the fact that Jesus had blue-collar beginnings. Jesus had blue-collar beginnings. I mean, He was the supposed king of the world. So when I hear the word king, that to me implies status. That implies money. That implies wealth. That implies mansion. That implies a Lamborghini. Hey-o, right? It implies all of that stuff. But Jesus' family was blue-collar. His dad was a laborer. His dad was a carpenter. They didn't live in the penthouse. They more or less like lived in the shack. And not only were they not wealthy, but Jesus was actually born on the wrong side of the tracks. He was born in this city called Bethlehem, and Bethlehem was at one point a very significant, a very stately, a very wealthy city, a place where you would want to be born. But by the time Jesus rolls around in history, it's a very small, insignificant village. It's not very important. In Luke, John, and Matthew, all of those describe Bethlehem as a humble city. Basically, that's like Bible talk for it was the hood, right? Like Jesus was born in the hood. And not only was He born in the hood, take it even a step further, when He got to the hood, the Marriott was closed, it was full, the Motel 6 was full, so Jesus had to be born in a barn full of animals. And I'm sure you know this, like animals taste good, but they smell really bad, right? Sorry if you're vegan, but they do taste good. And I think about that, like the Savior of the world, the King of everything, was not born surrounded by royalty, but instead He was surrounded by livestock. It's crazy. The red carpet wasn't rolled out for Jesus. He didn't have a family inheritance coming His way when Joseph eventually passed on. But here's what I would say is significant. Jesus wasn't rich in earthly possessions, but He was rich in heavenly potential. And hear me today. You might have been born on the wrong side of the tracks. You might not have had money growing up. You might not have money right now. You might not have been able to go to the nicest college. Maybe you didn't even have the opportunity to finish high school. That might be where you are in life. But here's what you need to know. Though you may not be rich in earthly possessions, you are rich in heavenly potential. And hear me today. God can do things in and through your life that money can never buy. God can open doors in a moment that money can never open. God can give you position that pedigree can't account for. God can give you status that daddy never could. If you walk with closely with God, God can give you wisdom that 10 college professors could have never, ever given you. Our responsibility is to walk with God and to trust him. Don't ever allow yourself to drink from the poison cup that says, because I don't have earthly stuff, God can't use me for something significant, because your DNA is laced with potential. Your tomorrow, truly, is better than your yesterday. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And the you that the Bible is talking about right there is each and every one of us in this room. Don't despise humble beginnings, because God can take humble beginnings and turn them into royal masterpieces. All we've got to do is be faithful with our part. We can't just sit idly by and do nothing and expect God just to make stuff happen. We've got to do our part. But once we do our part, we just trust, because God is faithful. So for potential poisons, we've got family factors. We've got blue-collar beginnings. I think another one that every single one of us in this room has definitely faced at one point or another is this thing called outside opposition. Outside opposition. Now, some people see the devil behind every situation, right? Like, you've heard that person. They blame the devil for everything. It's like, come on, bro. Don't blame the devil for that. Like, you've heard it. Like, oh my gosh, I would get a flat tire on Monday morning. Like, the devil's just trying to ruin my week. I don't know what's up with it. Trying to ruin my week. Trying to keep me back. Trying to hold me back from my potential. And you want to be like, no, that's not the devil, bro. You bought those tires used like 5 years ago, and they are more bald than an 80-year-old man. That ain't the devil. That's you, boo-boo. Quit blaming the devil, right? Or you might have heard that person that's like, man, I've been working at this job for like 10 years. I've been waiting on this promotion. I've been working hard. I'm good at my job. And every time a position comes up, they give it to somebody else. I don't understand it. It's just the devil trying to keep me back. He knows that I'm good at my job. He doesn't want me to be successful. And you want to say, like, listen, that ain't the devil. That's you. Like, you literally show up late to work 2 days a week. That ain't the devil. That's you, boo-boo, right? Like, sometimes some things are just circumstantial. They're cause and effect. I ate too much over a long period of time, and I look like I'm in my second trimester. You know what I'm saying, right? That sometimes is just life. However, hear me. The devil does want to destroy you. The devil does want to derail you from your destiny, because he knows the potential that's within you. And he will use whatever it possibly takes, whatever kind of outside opposition he can. He uses people, he uses circumstances, temptation, sickness, whatever it possibly can be. And for Jesus, this outside opposition came in the form of a man named Herod. Now, this guy named Herod is known as Herod the Great. There's really nothing great about him, though. But his appointed title by the Roman government was, get this, it was King of the Jews. So when the wise men show up to the town, they're walking around, they're asking, hey, where's this newborn baby King of the Jews? Herod gets word, they're asking for a baby King of the Jews, and he's like, wait, hold up, I don't know if you know this, I'm the King of the Jews, I'm Herod the Great. And so he gets all sorts of bent out of shape. He gets frustrated, he gets insecure. Check out the links that Herod goes to in Matthew chapter 2, verse 16. It says, he sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. Now, that's some intense outside opposition. Like, Herod is literally trying to take Jesus out, no holds barred, doing whatever he can possibly do. But I felt like that before, like the devil's trying to get me like that, right? Have you ever felt like no matter what you do, like you take one step forward, you get knocked two steps back? Like there's a target on your back and you're just treading water spiritually and you're just trying to put one foot in front of the other. I think we've all been there. And in those moments of life when you face outside opposition, here's what you need to do. Number one, in those moments, cling to God. Cling to God in those moments. I think for some reason we have this mentality of, I can get through this on my own. I have this form of self-reliance. I'm going to make it happen. I was talking to a friend recently. He's going through some crazy stuff. And I was like, bro, you got to do your part, but you got to trust Jesus, because you can't make this happen on your own. Sometimes you've got to just cling to God in those moments. But number two, when outside opposition comes, you need to surround yourself with the right people. You got to surround yourself with the right people. For Jesus, his parents were those right people in this situation. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 says, after the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, flee to Egypt with the child and his mother, the angel said. Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Get ready to read verse 14, 1, 2, 3. That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and stayed there until Herod's death. That night. The first thing that I see when I read that is that if you're a parent in this room, you need to have a that night type of mentality when it comes to putting your kids in healthy, safe environments that's pulling them closer and closer to Jesus. Like, if you're a parent in this room, you need to have a that night type of mentality of getting your kids to church every single weekend. Make it a priority because it's so important. If you're the parent of a teenager, have a that night type of mentality when it comes to getting your student to the Wave every single Wednesday night. Can it be inconvenient at times? Yes, but is it important? Yes. And for me, when I was a kid, even when I was a teenager, a senior in high school, my parents didn't give me a choice. I didn't want to go, I had to go. Because they said, you know what, it's my responsibility as a parent to put you in the right places that'll grow you closer to God. I see that so important in this passage. But for all of us in this room, no matter how old you are, I see the importance of having somebody like Joseph in your life that whenever life hits the fan, if you will, and things go crazy, if you will, you can go to them and they'll be there for you. You need to have somebody in your cell phone that you can call at 2 a.m. and say, hey, life is going crazy. I need you to pray for me right now. And they will actually pray for you and not go back to sleep. You need somebody in your life that as you're getting ready to make a bad decision and step over the cliff of life, that will pull you back and say, hey, don't do that. God has better things for you. You need to surround yourself with the right people. I've told teenagers this for years, but friends are like elevators. They'll either bring you up or they will take you down. By the time you are done with that relationship, you will not be on the same level that you were before. Who you surround yourself with is important. Outside opposition will come. And in those moments, it's easy just to drink the poison cup and say, maybe God abandoned me. Maybe I'm not going to get through this. But if you cling to God, if you surround yourself with the right people, you will avoid a lot of pain. And today, there's one last promise poison that I want us to look at. And in this one in particular, Jesus didn't experience. This promise poison is known as sin's shame. Sin's shame. I think all of us in this room know this, but at times in life, the shame of our sin can literally be crippling, can it? Like when you sit down and you take inventory of life, and you look at all of the things that you've done, all of the mistakes that you've made, all of the things that you've been a part of, it can almost overwhelm you to the point where you think, I've done too much bad for God to ever love me. I've done so much bad that God could never use me. I've out-sinned God's ability to forgive me. Sin shame is a powerful thing. And what begins to happen is our past problems begin to hold us back from our future potential. You see, Jesus didn't experience sin shame, but instead he came to earth as the antidote for it. That's really what Christmas is all about. God leaving the perfection and the protection of heaven, coming down to earth, being born as a baby, and then growing up, living this perfect life, only to die as a ransom for you and for me. So that we don't have to drink the poison cup of sin shame, but instead we can partake in God's grace. God's grace is powerful. One of the most amazing verses that has the ability to transform your life is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It says this, think about these words, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. Wow. So that in him, we might become the righteousness of God. What that verse right there just said, because of what Jesus did for you and for me, if we accept that free gift of salvation, we no longer have to drink from sin's shame, but we can have God's grace and spend eternity with him. That's so powerful. And today you may be in this room and you've never made that decision to accept God's grace and make him the leader of your life. If that's you, in just a few moments when I close out, there'll be some nice people up front that want to help you navigate that decision. Today's a great day to do that. But Church by the Glades, this is why we're so adamant about you guys inviting your friends to church. This is why we're begging you to bring your friends and your neighbors and your coworkers to Christmas Du Soleil. Is the creativity going to be on point? Yes. Is it going to melt your face off? Of course. Is it going to be amazing? Duh, it's Church by the Glades. But here's what I know. At every one of our Christmas services, across all of our campuses, Jesus is going to be lifted up. And people are going to walk through those back doors. They're going to hear about the love of a Savior. And they're going to exchange sin's shame for God's grace. And they're going to walk out of those doors never being the same again. Invite your friends to Christmas Du Soleil. It's going to be powerful. But you know, you may be sitting there today and you heard the message about outside opposition and blue collar beginnings, family factors, and you're like, Nolan, okay, I see that Jesus got past that stuff, but come on, bro. That's not fair. That's Jesus. I mean, he's God. I'm me. I've been struggling with this stuff for years. I can't get past these problems. I can't get past these things. It's just who I am. I'm always going to have these issues in my life. Can I tell you something today? Can I just encourage you with this little truth? You are stronger than you think you are. You are stronger than you think you are. You can overcome more than you think you can. You've got this. Romans chapter 8 verse 11 is this verse that if you let it sink inside of you, you will never be the same again. It says the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Wow. Let that sink in. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. The same power that beat death, hell, and the grave is inside of you. Therefore, today, no matter what situation you're facing, no matter what your past looked like, no matter what your family looked like, no matter what is going on in your life right now, you can overcome it because you are more than an overcomer. You are a conqueror. God is on your side and he's got your back. Don't drink from these poisons because God has way too many good things for your future. So today you can walk out of those doors with confidence saying, I'm not going to drink those things anymore. I'm going to follow every good and perfect thing that God has for me. Let me pray. God, I thank you for every single person that's here. God, thank you for the potential and the promise that's in this room. God, don't let us drink these poisons that keep us back from your best for our life. But instead, Lord, let us walk after you with every good thing that you have. And let us walk in the promises, walk in the plans. God, bring us back next week for Christmas Du Soleil. We love you. It's in Jesus' name, everybody say.
Thanks for listening to this week's message at Church by the Glades. Stay connected with us by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at CB Glades and at Pastor D. Hughes.